Scripture reading this morning comes from 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 11 and 12. That's 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 11 and 12. And it reads, "But flee from these things, you man of God, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called, and you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses."
Forgot to give Vernon an announcement. Dale Van Bathias and Jackie's son is in Spartanburg Regional. He was taken there, I think, the day before yesterday. He's in room 575, but please keep Dale in your prayers. He's trying to overcome an illness, and Jackie is very worried about it. And also, you're going to be sending cards, sympathy cards, to Joe and Carol. Please send them to Joe's house. Don't send them to Carol. She does not know yet. So please, and then Joe is going to provide us an address in Oklahoma that we can send cards out there. Please keep those things in mind. You know, one of my favorite promises is found in John 10 and verse 10. And Jesus here, he says, "I came that they might have life and have it abundantly." Now, I like the idea of an abundant life, and I think anyone here would agree to that. Earlier in John 4, Jesus meets the Samaritan woman at the need of the day in Jacob's well. And there he offers her the living water that will spring up to eternal life. There is a lot of greatness that is offered to us as Christians. We don't often hold on to those promises, but a lot of times we allow the world to drag us down. This world seeks to defeat us, and for good reason, because Satan is the prince of this world. But it also keeps us in bondage, at bondage of sin. But Jesus, he came to rescue us from all of that. Jesus came so that we might have life and have it abundant, and that it springs up eternal life. Do you want that abundant life? Do you live a life that is filled with the joy of the Lord, a peace that passes all understanding, contentment in times of trial, and love that makes your relationships deep? I want you to know that you can have all of that. It is yours as God's gift in this life. But there are conditions in order to take hold of that gift. God does not just zap people with happy pills. God does not just fix every problem that comes our way because of our own actions. But the Bible does give us the how-to answer to live the abundant life. In 2 Timothy, Paul gives Timothy what is needed to take possession of the greatest life that he and we can possess. If we want to have that abundant life, we have to know what is important. Our text opens up with these words, "But as for you, O man of God, flee these things." You know, earlier in the beginning of that chapter, Paul had just told Timothy how some people search for gain and that they use religion as a means for financial wealth. And then he wrote those famous words, which we take a look at all the time, that money is the root of all evil. And that some people have wandered away due to the drive to have more. So this beginning for Timothy is a warning. Flee. There are times that we need to turn away from evil. But Paul calls Timothy one of the greatest descriptive words given to man. Man of God. What sets us apart from the rest of the world? What makes us different? The answer is that we are men and women of God. And the difference is that we know the truth. If you will, listen to what John wrote in 1 John chapter 2, starting in verse 15 and going to verse 17. John writes, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust also. But he that does the will of God abides forever." We need to flee from the sin that kind of grabs hold of our feet and causes us to stumble. But just running away is only just a step in the abundant life. Look at the last part of 1 Timothy 6 and verse 11. Paul said, "Follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness." You know, it's a great thing to be able to run away from evil. But we need to fill our lives with something. Getting rid of evil and not filling up with godliness has a tendency to leave us empty and vulnerable. Someone once said, "Separation without positive growth becomes isolation." You know, you take a young Christian who has made that tremendous step to give up the life that they lived, and yet we do not help them to fill in the void that they left. Till one day they start longing for the life they had before. These things we need to fill in. And so Paul is telling us that we need to pursue righteousness and godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, and gentleness. And when we put on these attributes, when we shed the greed of this life, we will experience the wellspring of living water. And when you look at this list of these things that we are to pursue, it reminds us of another list that Paul wrote of in Galatians chapter 5. In verses 16 through 23, Paul writes here that the works of the flesh are evident. But also evident is the fruit of the Spirit. Now they produce love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These things we as Christians should be pursuing on a daily basis. None of these things come automatically the moment that you come up out of the water, but it is the things that you must pursue until the day that you pass from this life. What are we pursuing in our walk? What are we following? What are we fighting? Fight is the third step that we need to take. In verse 12 of 1 Timothy 6, Paul said, "Fight the good fight of faith." He used the word fight twice in one sentence. And that means that it is a continual fight, and it is a fight to the end. It is not just one battle, but a constant battle, a constant fight. We are to never, ever give up. Near the end of Paul's life, he wrote another letter to Timothy. In that letter in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verses 6 through 8, Paul told Timothy that he fought the good fight. But in fighting that fight, there is something we need to remember. People are not our enemy. Our enemy is not flesh and blood. That may be the avenue that our enemy uses, but our enemy is not people. Our enemy is sin, evil, and the powers of Satan. That is our enemy. So have we fought the good fight? Are we keeping our faith from ending? I think we can all agree that being a Christian is not easy. Being a Christian is not easy because we have to give in to what God wants and what our mind tells us to do. But this abundant life calls us to action. We need to want to possess the great and precious promises of God. If our desires are just fleeting, then we will never possess it. You know, it's like driving up into the mountains and you see this one place on the top of this mountain where you sit there and you think to yourself, boy, that would be a beautiful place. I'm going to buy that and build a house up there. I can see everything. And we never pursue it. We never pursue it. It is just a dream. If we don't pursue the righteous life, it'll always be just a dream. We will never be able to possess it. We need to build our house upon the rock of Christ. We are called to fight against sin, in order to be able to take hold of what Jesus has taken hold of for us. You know, several years ago I wrote a sermon, and the title was Flee, Follow, and Fight. But this is not that sermon, but that was the title of it. It went a different way a little bit. And those three things are important, but there's one more teaching that I want us to draw from this message this morning. All of these things I mentioned are what's important. But the what is based upon who. 1 Timothy 6. In these verses, Paul refers back to Jesus standing in Pilate's hall. It was there that Jesus was asked if he was a king. And Jesus told Pilate in John 18 and verse 36 that his kingdom was not of this world. Jesus here claimed kingship. He would be crucified with a sign above his head written in Latin, in Greek, and Hebrew. That would say, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. But you see, none of these people understood kingship. Now let's look at 1 Timothy 6 and verses 13 through 16. Paul tells Timothy here, I give you charge in the sight of God, who gives life to all things, and of Jesus Christ, who in his testimony before Pontius Pilate made a good confession. Keep the commandment unstained and free from reproach until the appearance of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he displayed at the proper time. He who is blessed and only King immortality and dwells in unapproachable light. Jesus. To him be honor and eternal domination. Amen. The abundant life, the living water, the peace which passes understanding, all of those things come from Jesus Christ. We will flee evil. We will follow righteousness. We will fight the good fight. And we will be faithful to Christ, our Lord and God. You know, a couple of years back, there was a shooting at a community college in Oregon. And it was reported that people who had called themselves Christians were the ones that were targeted. I bring this up because it begs the question, are we willing to die for our faith? Would we take a stand if it would cost us our lives? Would we remain and be faithful to Christ? I hope I would say I would, but I've never been in that situation. But there have been countless men and women who have and did die. They understood it because it was important. When we become a Christian, the Bible teaches that we die to self in order to be born again as a child of God. We die to self. We think of those things sometimes in those words, and I'm sure that a lot of that our friends have kind of pondered over those words of dying to self. And I think a lot of times we just don't truly understand and grasp what those words actually mean. But when we die to self, we are giving up our own initiative and going over to God's initiative. We are allowing him to take command and control of our actions. When God controls our actions, we then have control of our life. And our life will be an abundant life. We don't have to worry and stress over the daily toils and trials that we face, because we know that we're taken care of. That's what the abundant life is. God's not going to put a BMW in our garage, in our mansion. And that's what some people think an abundant life is. But God is going to put within our hearts a joy that other people can't fathom. Are you willing to die in order that you might live? When you can answer yes to that question, then you will know what and who is important to have an abundant life. When we look at the greatest moments in our lives, we can come up with a lot of answers. We can come up with an answer that says, the day I met my wife. or the day that my sons or my children were born. But the greatest moment in your life will be the day that you decide that you want to be a child of God. When we marry our spouses, that is not a permanent bond, because God, that promise only comes till death do us part. When our children are born, we will only be with them until we depart this life. But when you become a child of God, that is for eternity. Eternity. Today is the day that the Lord has made. Today is the day that you need to make a decision. Do I want to become that child of God? You know, in the front of my Bible, I was looking at it this morning. I was going over my Bible lesson and things like this, and I was flipping through the first part. It tells how to become a Christian, and of course, the Bible evidently was written by somebody other than what it was, because the first word out of their mouth was, you need to repent. The second one is to believe. Well, if I don't believe, what am I going to repent of? The Bible tells us, Romans 10:17, to hear, that we must believe, then we must repent, and then confess, and then we must be washed in the blood of Jesus through baptism. We must bury the old man in that watery grave, and that is the opportunity this morning. If that is your desire, you want to become a child of God, we want to give you that opportunity. Maybe you are a child of God. Maybe you're missing out on that abundant life because there is something that has caused a barrier between you and God. That can also be remedied today. Through prayers and repentance, God will forgive you of those things. Or maybe you just need the prayers of the congregation. Whatever your need is this morning, we pray that you'll come. Together we sing.